All right. Well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening? That's great. I'm glad to be here indoors in the AC. Praise the Lord. Welcome those of us online also. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, God is good. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, and He will guide you, and He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you, nor forsake you, and His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good all the time. Amen. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. such love as I have ever known. I found in the grace that flowed to me, in my unrighteousness, this is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. And such love as I have ever known, well, I found in the grace that flowed to me, in my unrighteousness. And this is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven.
I owe no other master. My heart.
Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Amen.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation. Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of Him this evening? Did you want to do number one, Chuck? No, not number one. I don't know what number one is. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Yeah, got to start somewhere. Man. You heard it's a waltz. Oh, okay. Do you know the tune? Oh, no, okay. Oh, okay. I might be able to do it. I don't know. I'll have to see. No, that's a good idea. The tune's not coming to me immediately. Number three. Yeah, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That's a good one.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, in purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. Any other tunes? 508? Alrighty. Love Lifted Me, 508.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, good job. Amen. Some good singing tonight. Amen, amen. All right. Praises and testimonies. What do we got? All right, James has got a praise. James has got a praise.
My daughter and the Hester, Robert Hester family wants to thank us for praying for them.
Okay.
And his prayer came true. He's in a better place.
Amen.
He wanted to go home to see Jesus, and they just thank you. They want to thank the church for praying.
All right.
Being a praying church.
Amen.
Amen.
So Robert Hester's family, praise the Lord for us praying for their loved one.
Going home, yeah. Amen.
Okay. What else? Any other praises?
All right. Mr. James Woods.
James Woods got a praise.
Amen. I hope I always have praise for the Lord.
Amen, brother.
And I just want to praise God for blessing America. You know, we just seem to forget that we're in some terrible times.
Yeah.
And God just continues to bless us. I'm so glad that he loves us so much. And,
amen, brother. Yeah.
And I think all these songs, God Bless America, is counted for something. And he loves us for loving him and believing in him. And so anyway, I just want to praise God for all he's done with us, for us. He's blessed us immensely. I was just thinking about saying, hey, that song, let's sing that song, Count Your Blessings, because,
yeah,
hey, we are really blessed. You know, there's terrible things going on in the rest of the world.
Right.
And I really believe that he has his hand on America.
Amen, brother. All right, any other praises or testimonies? All right, prayer request tonight?
Okay, Penny's got a prayer request.
All right, Penny.
I don't know the details, but my friend just asked me to just pray for her. Her name's Lori Azevedo. She works for the state. She's a state guard.
Gloria?
Lori.
Lori.
Yeah.
Lori, okay. Mm-hmm. And she wants us to pray for her.
Yeah, she didn't say why. She just said pray for her.
All right. Pray for Lori. All right.
And, Brother Lee, I got another one. A friend of mine at work, he just quit the job and got him a new job. But in the process of all that, he found out he has leukemia.
That's right.
Yeah, his name is Jeff Justin, and I want to lift him up. So,
Jeff Justin.
I don't really know where he stands with the Lord, but
yeah,
I have talked to him before.
Okay.
Amen. All right.
All right. Jeff Justin with leukemia. All right.
Miss Terry, Kim.
Okay, Miss Terry.
Just ask continuing prayers for our trip to Uganda, July 15th. And I'm a little nervous because I'm going to be, Lord willing, if it all falls in place, I will be staying afterwards and teaching for a few days the staff of the hospital, the nurses, and the midwives, and even the providers.
Right.
About newborn resuscitation.
Right.
So just pray that I have the supplies that just came in. Pray that I can get them all packed in over there and that it all just works out, that I won't be very nervous teaching them. I love to teach. I love to teach more than anything clinically.
Right.
So I don't mind doing the hands-on part, but then to get up there and teach doctors, it's going to be a little intimidating.
Right.
So anyway, just pray for our safety and that God will meet all of our needs.
Amen, girl. So. And then, let's see here. Back there.
Pray for Lori's boss, Glenn. She said that he said he's getting a divorce, and so don't know that that's final yet or even started yet, but it's certainly been talked about. So just pray that that doesn't happen or that they can work things out.
Amen. Sharon's got a prayer.
Okay.
It's kind of a praise and a prayer. Praise that Justin's surgery was successful, no complications or anything, and just prayer that they are doing a biopsy just to make sure everything's good, but he said everything looked good.
Yeah, amen.
And Miss Alita's got a prayer request.
All right, Miss Alita.
I'd like the church to continue to pray for Ronnie's health. He's still in a lot of pain. He goes to see the doctor tomorrow. I'm not sure if they can help him with the nerve pain. Also for Miss Socorro, she's just hurts all day long throughout the night, and I ask for a prayer for her, for healing to her body and to get some good night's sleep. And
yes.
And also for Ronnie and Nancy Holman, they're so sweet. They still come, and he wants to always be here if he can.
Right.
But continue to pray for Ronnie and his health.
Okay, amen. All right, all right. They got us covered tonight. Good, good. All right, let's continue to pray for the Collins family and their loss. Continue to pray for Ukraine. Continue to pray for Uvalde. And this shooting that happened over in Africa, where was it at again? Nigeria. At the Catholic Church. All right, all right. Amen. Here we go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. All right, our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity that we can lift these praises up and bear one another's burdens in a concert of prayer tonight. And Lord, first of all, we're thankful that we have a cool, dry place to meet in this sultry heat tonight. Lord, things are getting dry and parched, and we intercede, Lord, and pray to you, and we just, the Bible says you have not because you ask not, so we're asking, Lord. We're praying for rain, praying you might open the skies, Lord. You might break this high-pressure weather pattern, bring another good low, couple lows through here, Lord, and just drench the ground, green everything back up, Lord. Just water your old earth here in southeast Texas, Lord. We pray that we would not descend into one of these death spiral droughts, but Lord, you would bring the rain before it gets to that point. So Lord, we're praying for rain. We're asking for it. And Lord, we just praise you when you send it to us. We praise you tonight, Lord, for Robert Hester's homegoing. We pray for his family that you comfort them in their time of loss. Thank you, Lord, that you called him on home and that no more confusion for him and no more being upset, no more being angry. Lord, he's in a much better place. We praise you and thank you for that. And we lift you up, Lord, for how you've provided for this country. We praise you for that. Thank you that we still have food on the shelves and that we can buy. And the gas is expensive, Lord, but we can still get it. Praise you and thank you for that. And, Lord, we're thankful that we have electricity on 24/7. It doesn't go off several hours a day as it does in some countries. And so we just give you all the praise and the glory for that. We thank you tonight for your great provision, how you have just poured it out on us as a people and as a country. We praise you for Justin's surgery, Lord, and removing this growth, this cyst from his head. And Lord, we pray the biopsy would indeed come back benign, not anything to worry about. Pray you just heal that incision up, Lord, and just help him get that behind him. So we just praise you and thank you for that success. Lord, as we lift up Penny's friend to you tonight, we pray for Lori. We don't know what the specific request is, but you know, Lord. And we just pray you make intercession on behalf of us here tonight for Lori. And Lord, just give her what she needs. Help her with what she needs help with. Give her wisdom. Help her with whatever relationship she's struggling with, Lord. We just lift Lori up to you tonight. We lift up Jeff Justin to you tonight, Lord. And we pray for his leukemia. We pray you might touch his body, bring healing to him. Lord, you might give his oncologist wisdom and discernment on how best to treat him. We pray it's treatable leukemia, that they can stave it off, take care of it, get it into remission. So, Lord, we're lifting up Jeff Justin to you this evening. We're praying for Terry and Maddie's missionary trip to Uganda, Africa. We're praying, Lord, that you would just keep the team healthy. You'd make their path straight. Lord, travel would be uneventful. Lord, you allow them to have an impact once they get there. And then, Lord, we're praying for Terry's extended time as the team goes back home. She's going to be there a few more days. We pray for all her supplies to be readily available. And we just pray you give her what she needs to teach those folks about newborn resuscitation there for a few days after the main mission trip. Lord, we lift up Lori's boss to you tonight, Glenn. We pray for his marriage. We pray for this reconciliation between these two folks, this talk of divorce. Lord, we pray that they somehow head that off before it happens. But, Lord, we just lift Lori's boss up to you tonight, Glenn. We pray that you help him in the midst of his struggles with his marriage. We lift up Ronnie to you tonight, Lord. We pray for his health. Pray for the nerve pain that he's experiencing on a daily basis. Pray that you might lessen that, Lord. You might remove that. You might give him some pain-free days in the near future. Pray the same prayer for Ms. Socorro, Lord, that you would help her with her chronic arthritis and chronic pain. Lord, help her, give her the grace, give her the mercy to withstand it. But Lord, we pray at the same time that you would lessen it and that you would remove some of it from her so that she might be able to get some rest, be able to relax, be able to sleep good. We lift up Ronnie and Nancy Holman to you tonight, Lord. We continue to pray for Ronnie's healing from his cancer. You might touch his body. You might remove this cancer from him, Lord. You might give him just a miracle healing. And then, Lord, we pray for Nancy that she cares for him, that God, you would give her the strength, give her the everything she needs, Lord, to just be a good caregiver to her husband at this time. And then, Lord, we pray that nothing else would come against their home as they battle this this cancer diagnosis together. Lord, we pray for these families and people groups that have just experienced evil and are experiencing evil. We lift them up to you. The church in Nigeria, the Catholic Church, Lord, we continue to pray for those families that you comfort them, that have lost loved ones, that have experienced great trauma. Father God, I pray that you help them through. Same with the victims in Uvalde, the survivors there. Lord, as funerals are going on, seems like daily. Lord, we just pray that you help those folks. You help that town heal up. And Lord, you just help that school district move on and go forward. And Lord, we just pray you be with those sweet people. Collins family, Lord, we're thankful for their testimony during their funeral services. And Lord, just a powerful testimony of hope. We pray that you continue to comfort them. Thank you for all the people in this area that have prayed for them. Thank you for all the folks that were on Main Street as the Hertz's headed out for the service to just show their support. We thank you for just the great pulling together of the community, raising funds for the funerals, everything that's gone into that Collins family tragedy. Lord, we're thankful for the good Christian folk in this area that have really stepped up. So we praise you and thank you for that. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for Ukraine, that you help them in their plight in this war with Russia. Father God, we pray you might deliver them, you might give them the victory. Lord, you might help them drive out the aggressor and save their democracy. And Lord, the food supplies and the great bread basket of a country that is, Lord, it would be able to release its food reserves and get back to farming its land and help feed in some of the poorest countries in the world, Lord. So we pray you might just, with your sovereign hand, bring all this to a close over there and let those folks get back to living and help them get back to rebuilding their country. We thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for the heaven we have to look forward to. And we thank you for what you have in store for us tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. If you'll take a copy of God's word, we are in Revelation chapter 21. All right, all right. We are beginning in verse 1. We're going to finish these 8 verses this evening, I hope. And we'll certainly make an opportunity to do that. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1 through 8. Those of you with us online, if I haven't said it already, good to see you all tonight. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, we'll take it down through verse 8. The Word of God says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, this new heaven and new earth reality, that's kind of where we ended it last time. New heaven and earth reality. We said it results in some fundamental changes. We were basically covering verses 4, 5, and the first part of verse 6. We said God will wipe away every tear. Amen. Going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. We said there will no longer be any death. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There will no longer be, there will be no more mourning or crying in heaven, which goes back to that wiping away every tear business. Kind of reiterates that, reaffirms that, restates that in a different way. We said all of these changes that will mark the new heaven and the new earth indicate that the first things have passed away. This is a totally new deal. We talked about how old human experience related to the original fallen creation, we said it will be gone forever, and with it all the mourning, and with it all the suffering, and all the sorrow, and all the disease, and all the cancer, and all the pain, and all the death that has characterized this world since the fall of man. That's all going to go away. So, can we summarize those changes in a positive way? Well, yes, we can. He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And nothing like a new pair of boots or a new car, amen, or a new suit, or the smell of a brand new house when you open the door and you're the first pair of feet on that brand new carpet. There's just nothing like it. He's making all things new. Or going into a brand new store, amen, the freshness of it. Or walking into a brand new hospital or a new doctor's office. You're the first sicko in there, amen. Isn't that, that's nice when you get to do that, right? Amen. We've been able to live in, me and my wife, when we first got married, we moved into some brand new apartments, and we were the first tenants, man. It was a special deal, amen. You could just smell the new. It had new all over it. After about 6 months, it didn't, but boy, when we first walked in, it did, amen, right? New, right? I'm making all things new. The one who sits on the throne is the same one from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. That was Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. As we've already covered, the present universe will be uncreated. The new heaven and new earth will be truly a new creation and not merely a refurbishing of the present heaven and earth. In that forever new creation, there will be no lack of order. There will be no atrophy. There will be no decay. There will be no decline, and there will be no waste. Now, overwhelmed by all that he had seen, the Apostle John, there on the Isle of Patmos, in this vision that he's in, he seems, and you can kind of relate to this as a human being stuck in time, in a finite world, in a body that's decaying and dying, you can kind of get the point that scholars believe that he kind of lost his wits here. This was overload, information overload. This is sensory overload. This is too much for the human mind to take in. Amen? So God himself, the glorious, majestic one on the throne, said to John at the end of verse 5, Hey! Write, for these words are faithful and true. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you looking in. I appreciate your jaw hitting the floor. I appreciate the tears coming down your cheeks. I appreciate you shaking there in your sandals. But come on, son, write these things down. These are the faithful and the true. They're faithful and true. The words John was commanded by God to write are as faithful and true as the one revealing them to him. And this is where we come to some major points of application and summary. As we think about these eight verses, here at the beginning of Revelation chapter 21. Though the present heaven and earth will pass away, still God's words will not pass away. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. There will be an end to this present universe, but not to the truth God reveals to His people. His word will never end. Whether or not people understand and believe the truth will come to pass. The majestic voice of the one sitting on heaven's throne said to John, "It is done." Those words are reminiscent of Jesus' words on the cross where He said, "It is finished." John chapter 19, 30. Jesus' words there on the cross before He breathed His last marked the completion of the work of redemption. You don't have to work for it because He paid it all. These words here mark the end of redemptive history. It is the time of which Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15, that great passage, that great description of these glorified bodies of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 28, the Word of God reads this: "Then comes the end, when He hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when He has abolished all rule and authority and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for He has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when He says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that He has accepted who put all things in subjection to Him. When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself also will be subjected to the One who subjected all things to Him, so that God may be all in all." 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 28. So let me kind of, as we summarize it and apply it, let me bottom line it for you. The one who sits on the throne is qualified, is equipped, is the one to declare the end of redemptive history because He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. God started history and He will end history, and all of it has unfolded according to His sovereign plan. Now, that is the same phrase, that this same phrase is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ in 22:13, offers proof of His full deity and equality with the Father. So, as we kind of trudge through the last few verses of this passage, we come to this point. Me and you living in this new heaven and new earth. Me and you are going to live in it. We're going to be in the middle of it. We're going to enjoy this new heaven and new earth. Second part of verse 6 and verse 7. "I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." We have two descriptive phrases here. Two descriptive phrases that reveal who will live in the glorious new heaven and new earth. First, a citizen of heaven is described as one who thirsts. One who thirsts, right? Now, that phrase signifies those who recognize their desperate spiritual need. I take you back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The Word of God reads, "Hunger and thirst for righteousness." Amen? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are the ones. No, I'll take it. I'll finish that one. Yeah, I'm a struggling up here. Amen? All right, union break. Union break. Punch that clock. Ta-kink. Ta-kink. Amen. You got a living illustration in front of you. Amen. A living illustration. You need to hunger and thirst for the Lord like I hunger and thirst for this water when I'm up here speaking, right? Amen. The phrase signifies those who recognize their desperate spiritual need, right? A citizen of heaven is going to be one who thirsts, hungers and thirsts for righteousness, as Matthew 5, 6 says. They are the ones to whom Isaiah cries out in Isaiah, however you want to say it, Isaiah 55, 1, ho, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Those who will be redeemed, me and you, those who will be redeemed and enter heaven are those who are dissatisfied with their hopeless, lost condition. That's how we got saved, man. We figured out it was hopeless. We figured out we were lost. The Holy Spirit revealed it to us that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And we felt in that moment of time the hopelessness. And we didn't want no more of that, right? And so we thirsted for something what? Something better. Something righteous, right? And we craved God's righteousness. And we craved it to the point where we couldn't sit still any longer. We had to go forward and we had to drink. Amen? We had to drink of that salvation, right? Crave God's righteousness with every part of our being. The psalmist expressed that strong desire in Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Amen? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The promise that we have here to such earnest seekers is that their thirst will be satisfied. God will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life. And what's it going to cost? It's not going to cost you anything. It's without cost. To the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, Jesus promised, in John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. This is the water Jesus spoke of in John 7, 37 and 38. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The water in all of those passages that I just read to you, John 4, John 7, the water in all those passages, Psalm 42, the water in all those passages symbolizes eternal life, eternity. Those who thirst for and passionately seek salvation are the ones who will receive it and enjoy the eternal bliss of heaven. Amen? Second, heaven belongs to those who overcome. To those who overcome. The passage this morning was to help you be an overcomer. Was to see the hope. Comprehend the hope. Hold on to the hope. Right? Jesus is coming back. He's on your side. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. Have hope in Him. Right? He's leading you. You be a leader. He's leading you. Amen? Heaven belongs to those. He overcame. You can overcome. Heaven belongs to those who overcome. An overcomer, according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, is one who exercises saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for how long, preacher? For eternity. Amen? For eternity. If you stop exercising faith, you never had faith in the first place. Amen? I mean, you may struggle with some sin issues, and you may fall out of church here and there, but you're going to have your faith. Your faith may be covered up. It may be numbed a bit here and numbed a bit there. But if Christ has come in, if the Holy Spirit's in there, you dig around and root around and get that stuff out of the way, that faith is right there. Amen? The overcomer is the person who in faith drinks the water of salvation freely offered by God. John uses this distinctive term for believers in the closing promise of each of the letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, talking about the one who overcomes. The promise here to those who overcome is that they will inherit these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." They will enjoy perfection of soul and body forever in the environment of the new heaven and the new earth. The most wonderful promise to the one who overcomes, who thirsts for righteousness, is God's promise, "I will be his God." Equally amazing is God's promise that the one who overcomes will be my son. Even in this life, it is the believer's privilege to be the adopted son of the God of the universe, but only in heaven when believers come into their inheritance, per 1 Peter chapter 1, 4 we just read, will that adoption be fully realized. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says, "And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." You getting it? So let me give you the recap, because the Bible gives us a recap. What do you mean a recap? Well, we got a recap on those who did not make the new heaven and the new earth. It's reiterated for us again there in verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire in brimstone, which is the second death. So John concludes his overview of the new heaven and the new earth with a series of solemn warnings. He describes those who will be excluded from any participation in the blessings of heaven. Well, who are the ones that miss the new heaven and the new earth? Well, it's plainly spelled out for us. It's all the unforgiven and unredeemed sinners. Now, we could look at this, and you could certainly look at me tonight, and if you're watching online, you could say, "Well, Pastor Lee's just piling it on." Or you could say, "Well, John is just the Apostle John's just piling it on." Or you could say, "Well, the Lord is just piling it up." Friend, we're just covering the Bible. This is what the Bible says. We're taking it verse at a time. So this is the verse we're at. John's not piling it on. I'm not piling it on. This is just the Word of God. Right? We're just seeing the sovereignty of God play out. And it plays out with a list here. But let me remind you, there are similar lists of such sinners in chapter 22, verse 15 of the book of Revelation. And then you go all the way back to the book of Romans. You find a pretty extensive list there in Romans 1, 28 through 32. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. There's a list of folks that don't make it there. You go Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. You'll find another list of folks that don't make it there. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, you'll find another list of folks that don't make it. Praise the Lord, you're going to make it. Amen? And if you're not going to make it, you need to talk to me before you leave here and make sure you're on the same page to make it. Hallelujah. So, a closer look at the list. The first group excluded from heaven are the cowardly. That's what the Bible says, not me, the cowardly, right? These are the ones who lack endurance. They fell away when their faith was challenged. They fell away when their faith was opposed. Why did they fall away, preacher? Why? Why? Brother Lee, why did they fall away? They fell away because their faith was not genuine. It wasn't legit. Was not the real deal. Jesus described such people in the parable of the soils. Remember us covering that? We preached on that. Matthew chapter 13, 20 and 21, the Word of God reads, The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. There are the ones who shrink back to destruction in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus defined those whose faith is genuine as those who continue in His Word. In His Word. You could lock the doors of this church, and you lock the doors of all these other churches, and they post people here with guns, with long guns, and say, you folks ain't coming in here to worship no more. Right? And they can take all the sermons off the YouTube, and they can confiscate all these Bibles, right? But I tell you, I've done some things the last 30 years of ministry. I've hid some word down in my heart, and they'll never stop me from being in His Word. They can poke my eyes out. They can cut my tongue out, but they'll never keep me from being in His Word. I'll be in His Word. Till the day He calls me home, I'll be in His Word. Whether in black and white print or looking at a computer screen or looking at a commentary with His Word sprinkled throughout it, I'll be in His Word. Amen, amen? Hopefully you will too, amen? Because the cowardly lack saving faith and are unbelieving, their disloyalty excludes them from heaven. Now this group includes those, as the Word of God says, that are abominable, which means that they are vile, they are polluted, they are detestable, they are wholly caught up in wickedness and evil, murderers, immoral persons. You think about the escaped convict that shot this Collins family. That's the epitome of evil. I mean, that is it. That is a testimony of somebody who doesn't make it. A murderer, evil, an immoral person. This term sorcerers that we see here in verse 8 is from the Greek word, you'll know this, pharmakos, from which the English words pharmacy and pharmaceuticals derive. John here is alluding to those who use mind-altering drugs in occult religion. That was a big thing back in the first century, back in biblical times. This list is rounded out with idolaters and liars. Those whose lives are characterized by such things give evidence that they're not saved and will never enter the heavenly city. As the Bible tells us here, on the contrary, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In contrast to the eternal bliss of the righteous in heaven, the wicked will suffer eternal torment in hell. The new heaven and the new earth awaits believers, and the final hell awaits resurrected unbelievers. For believers, it will be a universe of eternal happiness. We'll really be able to say that word and it means something. Happy. It'll mean the right thing finally. Happiness. As we dwell forever in the glorious presence of God. For unbelievers, it will be a terrifying place of unbearable torment and unrelieved misery away from God's presence. And so it comes down to this. There's some free will involved. The choices men and women make, boys and girls make, people make in this life, determine in which of those realms, heavenly city or the lake of fire. It's really that simple, isn't it? Well, boy, man, it's hard to get people to that point, isn't it? My soul. This life determines where we spend forever. It's a short life, but man, is it an important life? Because it determines our eternal destiny. Amen and amen? We can put a bow on 1 through 8. We finished it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen? All right. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we got a good run at it tonight. Had a good time. Had plenty of time to work our way through these verses. We thank you for that. Thank you for a congregation that enjoys hearing these Bible studies, Lord, and these folks online that listen. And, Lord, we pray that we'd be able to hide these words in our heart, but not to keep them to ourselves, Lord, but to bring them out and to share them with those that need to see the truth, that need to experience the truth, that need a change of heart, that need a change of eternity. Lord, I pray you'd use us to bring those that are lost into a saving relationship with you, the saving knowledge of who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity. You give us the ministry of reconciliation. We praise you and thank you for it. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight, Lord. We pray for those again that we might know, that are less fortunate, that are struggling with this heat. Lord, may we be, may we really pay attention to our neighbors and the folks around us. We need to help somebody get to a cooling station or take them a fan or, Lord, help them with a repair or something so that they can stay cool. We pray that nobody loses their life in this horrific heat that we're undergoing right now. Lord, we just pray you help us be the church and help us be Christ to those in need. And Lord, thank you that you saved us. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us. And thank you for all the promises that we have to look forward to one day. We love you tonight. We praise you with everything within us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Good night, online folks. We'll see you next time.